ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 18। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज प्रह्लाद पैसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विथ प्रेयर्स। सोहम प्रियस्य सुहृद परदेवताया लीला कथास्तव नरसिंह विरंचि गीतः अंजस्ति तर्म अनुग्रणन गुण विप्रमुक्तो दुर्गाणि ते पदयुगालयन हंस संगः सोहम। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। O my Lord Narsingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service, in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, Hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. Purport. A devotee's life and duty are very well explained herein. As soon as a devotee can chant the holy name and glories of the Supreme Lord, he certainly comes to the liberated position. Attachment for glorifying the Lord by hearing and chanting of the holy name and activities of the Lord, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, certainly brings one to the position where material contamination is absent. One should chant the bona fide songs received from the disciplic succession. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the chanting is so powerful. When one follows the disciplic succession, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu, manufacturing many ways of chanting will never be effective. However, chanting the song or the narration left by the previous acharyas, Mahajano Yena Gatasya Pantaha, is extremely effective, and this process is very easy. Therefore, in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj uses the word anjaha, easily. Accepting the thoughts of exalted authorities through disciplic succession is certainly much easier than the method of mental speculation, by which one tries to invent some means to understand the absolute truth. The best process is to accept the instructions of the previous acharyas and follow them. Then God realization and self-realization becomes extremely easy. By following this easy method, one is liberated from the contamination of the material modes of nature. And thus one can certainly cross the ocean of nations, in which there are many miserable conditions. By following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, one associates with the Hamsas or Paramahamsas, those who are completely freed from material contamination. Indeed, by following the instructions of the acharyas, one is always freed from all material contamination. And thus, one's life becomes successful, for one reaches the goal of life. This material world is miserable, regardless of one's standard of life. Of this, there is no doubt. Attempts to mitigate the miseries of material existence by material methods will never be successful. One must take to Krishna consciousness to become really happy. Otherwise, happiness is impossible. One might say that becoming advanced in spiritual life also involves tapasya, voluntary acceptance of some inconvenience. However, such inconvenience is not as dangerous as material attempts to mitigate all miseries. O my Lord Narsingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service, in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, Hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. Hare Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj continues to offer his most wonderful prayers to Lord Narsingdev. And he exhibits different kinds of consciousness. Sometimes full of confidence of helping the conditioned souls, which is his nature, that's his constitutional nature. He's a liberated soul. And sometimes he expresses a lack of confidence in himself in regards to the association with the material world. And therefore is afraid of the material existence. And here he's expressing another kinds of emotion of associating with devotees, serving with them, and hearing about Krishna, following in the disciplines, following in the parampara system as given by Lord Brahma, Viranchi Gitam. We see Srimad Bhagavatam has such great devotees expressing their emotions, their love for the Lord. It is very spontaneous, but at the same time, very authentic. Meaning, it is connected to the parampara system. When we talk about spontaneity, many times spontaneity means it is not connected to, you know, what the previous acharyas have done. Therefore, in the beginning of bhakti, Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu defines sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means there may not be any emotions, any bhava, but simply rules. Simply rules and rules and rules. Nothing but rules. You chant. You chant prescribed number of rounds. You come for Mangal Arati at the exact time. You associate with devotees. Only certain class of devotees. You attend class at exact time. If it is beyond 9:15, then we walk away. Because something else is there to do. So everything is so regulated. Why? Because that a living entity has a natural tendency to break away. He has a natural tendency to break away. And that was his original sin. He broke away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There was a natural facility to associate with the Lord and hear about Krishna in the association of devotees. But some other being separated to establish one's separate existence is the inherent nature of the conditioned soul or inherent nature of the Lijiva. Therefore, he is of the Tatastha Shakti. Tatastha Shakti means either here or there, either here or there. That tendency continues to exist. But very interesting here that all the great acharyas, great devotees of the Lord in the Srimad Bhagavatam, whether it is Chitraketu Maharaj as a demon Vritrasur, or Prahlad Maharaj, or Prithu Maharaj, or King Jadabharat, whoever they are, there is free flow of their bhakti, but at the same time, it is very much connected to parampara. To strike this balance is the greatest achievement for a devotee. Because when someone follows the laws, he becomes very much ritualistic. And everything he judges based upon those laws. And he cannot understand the heart of the law. But those who follow so-called heart, most of the time, their expression is based upon non-authentic scriptures, not connected to the parampara, not connected to the previous acharyas, like the sahajiyas. There is so-called free flow is there, but regulation is not there. But here, Prahlad Maharaj, he is not speaking prepared classes. Yesterday we were discussing in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that we see Srila Rupa Goswami explains purity of devotional service. How devotional service cannot be contaminated by anybody. When we give something, we are always worried about qualification. Is he qualified to worship the deities? He may throw the deities. Is he qualified to make dresses? Everything is seen upon his ability to do something. because there is a fear that he may harm the object and create an obstacle. Even karma kanda, jnana kanda, all this principle, all this process have certain prerequisite qualification. Why? Because there is a danger that he might spoil that. But bhakti is not like that. The bhakti process is so pure that nobody can contaminate it. Rather, anyone who comes in contact with bhakti, with whatever contamination he has, he becomes purified. In India, we see when we would go for book distribution in the companies, people would come out from their canteen. And many times, most of the time, they would eat meat. So when they would come out, they would be fearful that if I touch the book, I'll be contaminating Bhagavad Gita. It was quite a common feature when you would put the book in their lap. They say, no, I just took meat. As if they are going to contaminate the book. But Bhagavad Gita has the power that all of your contamination will be removed if you touch that book. That is Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is such a powerful process that anybody can practice Krishna consciousness. Like we had a session with some of our devotee children. And we were asking one question to these children. What is a far out thing for you about Krishna consciousness? One far out thing which makes you really amazed by the process of devotional service. And one devotee said the Chinese chanting Hare Krishna. Because the word R is not there. The word R is not there. And the whole Hare Krishna mantra, there are many R's. Krishna is there, Rama is there, Hare is there. In Hare there is R, in Rama there is R, in Krishna there is R. So if you want to chant Hare Krishna, if you don't know how to pronounce R, you can't chant Hare Krishna. And still they are able to chant Hare Krishna, the holy name. And people discuss how should people pronounce. If you do wrong pronunciation, then there is no benefit. But see that if you make them conscious of the pronunciation, they will not be conscious of Krishna. Always they will think, oh, I didn't pronounce it properly. So you become expert in chanting Hare Krishna, which is not your constitutional nature being born in a Chinese family. You naturally chant Hale, not Hare. Right? But if you tell them, no, you pronounce properly, they will be focused on chanting R, but Krishna will disappear. But when they will chant Krishna's name with affection, without pronouncing it as Hare, Krishna is there. It's a very interesting phenomena that when we become conscious of rules, the object of all those rules is to remember Krishna, and that is forgotten. So therefore, it's such an amazing prayers offered by Prahlad Maharaj. It is coming out spontaneously, but at the same time, the underlying theme everywhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the three important principles. Dhruva Maharaj speaks this, Parikshit Maharaj speaks this, Prahlad Maharaj speaks this. When Parikshit Maharaj is about to quit his body, you know, you are absorbed in thinking about what will happen when I quit, what will happen to my relatives. It is natural to be absorbed in self-consciousness. And in that time to remain very authentic is very difficult. Therefore, Krishna told Jarasan when they were fighting the last battle, the 18th time, when Jarasan approached Krishna to fight with him, he was boasting, he was speaking many things. And Krishna makes a very interesting statement to Jarasan. He said that one should not take the words seriously of those people who are facing death and those who are in anxiety. Sometimes circumstantially people blab, speak so much of nonsense. And even that nonsense is taken sensibly by, sober people. They get affected by that. Very badly affected. But Krishna did not take the words of Jarasan so seriously. He laughed at it. He said, one who is dying and one who is in anxiety, his words should not be taken seriously. We don't need any conflict resolutors. Just hear the words of Krishna. And why people are having difficulties? Because people take nonsense as something sensible. And there is a great conflict. But Lord Krishna here immediately reject. He said, you are in anxiety and you are about to die. So therefore, I don't take your word seriously. It is natural to speak nonsense when you are in anxiety and you are about to die. But here Parikshit Maharaj, Vritrasur, who has got a demon's body, they don't speak nonsense. Naturally, without practice, without endeavor, without preparation, they speak fluently, they speak beautifully, and they speak authentically. And what are these three underlying principles? If you read Bhagavatam, that one is complete attachment to Krishna, friendliness towards all the living entities, and constant association of devotees. Dhruva Maharaj asked for this. Even Sudama, the florist whom Krishna benedicted because he offered those beautiful garland to Krishna, even he, the garland maker, what do you expect from a garland maker? Just to put flowers, needles in the flower or sew the flowers, that's all. You don't expect a philosophy from him. You don't expect a philosophical dissertation from Kunti Maharani. You know, she never went to Gurukul. She was never stayed with her parents also. She was given, she was adapted by somebody else. So even Kunti Maharani, when she offers prayers, you know, what a beautiful prayer she offers. Again, very spontaneous prayer, very authentic. One devotee was mentioning, what great people with all philosophical understanding could not offer those prayers. Kunti, naturally out of affection for Krishna, offers it without any preparation. Which is glorified, which is respected, which is worshipped by the great souls, the Paramhamsas. So Prahlad Maharaj, 5 years old boy, and in both ways, serving Krishna, not independently, in the association of devotees. And how do you serve Krishna? By following in the footsteps of Brahmaji and disciplic succession and hearing about Krishna. We were discussing, in this world, even amongst devotees, even amongst the practicing devotees, when we lose some service, we have an emergency meeting. That I lost this service, I was doing it. But when we lose the opportunity for hearing, nobody comes. Prabhuji, I missed the class. The natural tendency is to give importance to something which is basically a material concept. But we flavor it as a devotional service. It is simply exhibition of my false ego because I am doing this and therefore it is important to me. And when that is lost, there has to be an emergency meeting. Why did I lose this? There is the politics about me. But when he loses hearing Krishna Katha, one day, second day, third day, fourth day, he does not feel any emergency. Rather, he always looks, how can I sit as far as possible in the temple hall? As far away from the speaker. Like one time, Indradyumna Maharaj was giving a class in Nivrindavan. And Nivrindavan is a much bigger temple. And he saw, you know, devotees, somebody was hitting the wall, trying to go inside the wall. And somebody else was sitting in another corner. He said, please come closer, I don't bite you. I don't eat you, so please come, get inspire me to speak. Let me be inspired to speak. Just see, a conditioned soul, he has a natural tendency. What is not owned by him, it is not important. We own services. This is my service. I am going to do it. And that is taken away, there is such a disturbance. And then, our level of Krishna consciousness is tested. As Prabhupada explains here, that material life means miserable place. Anything other than chanting and hearing, it has to cause misery. It has to cause misery. Because any service has a limited facility and more number of people to perform that service. Just like our Mangalarti. You know, some of us, we were doing Mangalarti for many, many years. every day, every week, every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday. But somebody said, why only you guys have to do? We are also Brahmanas. We are also initiated. Why not we get to do? And some of them, they are older than us. So therefore, it is natural that you have only 7 days and only 7 Mangal Aartis, but the number of devotees are increasing. How much practical adjustment can you do? Of course, some adjustment has been done. That rather than everybody doing every week, every Monday, every Tuesday, now only they get to do 2 months. The next 2 months somebody else will do. Next 2 months somebody else will do. But still, how many devotees can you adjust? There is a limitation. Any service. But in regards to chanting and hearing, nobody can say only you got to hear, I didn't get to hear. There is no such thing. Vaishnava Seva Prabhu has provided a facility where there are millions of lectures on desiretree.com and entire life is not sufficient. Therefore, in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prithu Maharaj offers these prayers to Lord Vishnu. He says, my dear Lord, he said, give me millions of years. He said, I do not desire impersonal liberation. I do not desire anything other than hearing from your pure devotees. And let there be millions of years. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, why does Prithu Maharaj desire millions of years? He says, because kathas are going everywhere. And 2 years is sufficient for one speaker. You need many, many years to hear so many pure devotees speak about Krishna. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj wants to extend his ears everywhere. And let Krishna Katha come into his ears. You never find Rupa Goswami, Haridas Thakur, any other acharyas do not desire, give me millions of alms. Then you become Banasur. Then you want to fight against Krishna. That I want such efficiency that let there be millions of hands, millions of heads, millions of legs, so that I can do this service, I can do that service. Nowhere in the Shastra other than Banasuri desired this from Lord Shiva and eventually misused. Why? Because his hand was scratching and he wanted to fight somebody. And he approached Lord Krishna to fight. And what Krishna did? He broke all of his arms, kept only two so that he can fold his hands. That's all. If you have more than two hands, then it's very dangerous. But certainly the desire, either it is Rupa Goswami, whether it is, you know, Prithu Maharaj, Krishna give me millions of ears and millions of tongues. Why? Because that is the most prominent service to perform. If our chanting and hearing is not good, and everything else we are good at, we are diseased condition. Because this service will be taken away by the force of time factor. Either because somebody else better than us will be there, or our body itself will not allow us to do it. That will be taken away. And because we have not developed attraction for chanting and hearing, when that service is taken away, that anyway causes more distraction from chanting and hearing. And then we try to do so many things to get back our service, even though know very well that I am not able to do it properly. But if you are expert in chanting and hearing, Srila Prabhupada explains in the first cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, Suta Goswami got double benediction. How did he get a double benediction? He says that he heard Krishna Katha from the great soul, Sukadeva Goswami. Then he got to speak Krishna Katha to great soul like Shaunakadi Rishi. Double benediction. Just see, you hear from great souls, but there is no guarantee that you can get to speak to the great soul. You don't get to speak to Shaunakadi Rishi. Sometimes people are worried. He said, I don't want to speak in the temple. I can speak in my college. I can speak in my base. I can speak for 3 hours. But in the temple, I don't want to speak because there are senior devotees. But here, Suta Goswami, Prabhupada says he got a double benediction. That he got to speak to Suta Shaunakadi Rishi, more benediction, and he got to speak to, hear from Sukadeva Goswami also. Same thing happened to Sukadeva Goswami also. He heard from his father, and whom did he speak? He spoke to Narad Muni. He spoke to Vyasdev. There is the least of sages who apparently are more elder to Sukadeva Goswami, more qualified, more austere, you know, living for such a long time. But he spoke for next 7 days and got their benediction also. Why? Because he perfected the art of speaking and hearing. Again, in the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, our Vritrasura, he is facing death. He has lost the kingship at Chitraketu Maharaj. Now he is going to lose the domain over all the demonic people as the king of the demons. But he is not disturbed. Rather, he says, "My dear Indra, please attack me as early as possible." He said, "Cut off my head." Why? Because I am simply eagerly awaiting to go back and associate with Narad Muni. I am eagerly awaiting to get the dust particle of the great souls, the Manasvinam, devotees like Narad Muni. Dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyo. He explains. Every verse, if you read Chitraketu's, Vritrasura's glorification of the Lord, in every verse, the service to Vaishnavas or hearing from Vaishnavas comes. In all those Chatushloki verse spoken by Chitraketu Maharaj as Vritrasura, he does not give up the chance to be in the association of devotees and hear about them. And Parikshit Maharaj also, we see, in every canto, before any story begins, he is afraid that Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj might speak in brief. And therefore, he keeps on reminding Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear master, do not speak Krishna Katha in brief, as elaborately as possible." He keeps on reminding. And he says, "I am not tired hearing Krishna Katha." He said, "I am not exhausted." So therefore, and Prabhupada explains, in the material world, all solutions, the previous verse was, the very solution what we have to solve problem becomes a greater problem. There is no solution. And therefore Prabhupada continues the same purport for the previous shloka in this chapter also, saying that we cannot solve any problem in this world. It is not possible, because after all it is a material world. Just like Vidura to Dhritarashtra in the Bhagavati, in the Mahabharati explains, he said, "My dear Dhritarashtra, wherever you go, whichever part of the world, whatever you do," he said, "these five things will always follow you." Very interesting. He said, these five things will always follow. First is that wherever you go, you will have friends. Now somebody will become your friends. I was telling this story to our children yesterday in Gopal's garden, that sometime some parents who are working in the government sector, you know, they're transferred from Bombay, they directly go to Sikkim. Such a far out place. And you don't know the language also. But when the child is put to the school, he makes friends. He makes friends and is happy also being spared by some, you know, angry teachers who are targeting him only or targeting her only. But when he goes to another school, he also gets certain, he continues to have such teacher existing there also. So Vidura says, you get friends naturally everywhere and you get enemy also everywhere. It is unavoidable. Yatra yatra gamishanti, wherever you go, just like shadow, these five things follow. Second is friends, enemies. And third, he says that neutral people, they see you being suffering and they are totally detached. They don't know anything about your suffering. They don't react at all. Or if they see you enjoy, doesn't matter to them. They are neutral party. That also will exist. Now that's how the Western world is. The neighbors, they are height of neutrality. Nobody knows who is staying next to you. Nobody cares to know also who is staying next to you. You just walk away from there. On the road they may say, "Okay, take care. How are you? Nice." But when your neighbors are there, nobody comes to know. They are the neutral party. And the fourth, Vidura told Dhritarashtra, you'll have someone give you shelter. There will be some people will give you shelter. Like our BT boys, one of them got stranded in rains in some village where our devotees are trying to preach. And they never got to preach in that village. So this devotee was stranded there, and somebody came and they took him to their home, and he told his mother to cook prasad according to his style without onion and garlic, and he made them offer it to the deities. They fed him, they made him stay in the house, and next they dropped also, right? Next day they dropped also. So Vidura says, you'll always get some place where people will give you shelter. Even if you go to Pakistan, there will be a place for you. You'll get shelter there. Because that's how the material world is arranged. And he says, and the fifth principle is that somebody will come asking shelter from you. Wherever you go, they will come and say, give me some money. I need your help. He said, these five people are like shadow following. Wherever you go, they follow like shadow. So therefore, why one should endeavor separately to try to stabilize his material life? Because material life means unstable. Something which is unstable, how can you stabilize it? It is not possible. Another poet from South India, he said, what one should worry in this world? If you have life, if your lifespan is there, food will come. Otherwise, how will you live? Very simple logic. If you are supposed to live for 70 years, the food will come automatically, because without food, you cannot sustain. In the other yugas, one could sustain, their life would sustain within the bones also. As long as the bones are there, that long your life is there. But in Kali Yuga, life is sustained by food grains. This is the verse from the Mahabharata. If you don't get fruit grains, then you don't survive. You die. So he says, if you have 70 years of lifespan, that means you should know that the food will come. You don't have to worry. And as long as you are a conditioned soul, the body will also come. Don't worry about the body. If not this body, some other body. Millions of bodies will come. And these are the two things where people worry about. How do I take care of my body? And how do I get all varieties, even in the Brahmacharya ashram. We want hundreds of varieties to eat, not stable, consistent, few items. And that is an anxiety. For that also you have to have a meeting. But he says, rather than worrying about food and his body, worry about Krishna. Remember Krishna. Increase your remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chant and hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like when we were in Rajasthan, we saw on the wall, you know, still the culture is there. People try to remind everybody that you have to remember God, you have to be free from anxiety. So there was a quote, it said in Hindi, that the difference between chinta and chita. He said, chita eki bar jalati hai, aur chinta bar bar jalati hai. The chinta is burning you every day. And the funeral fire burns you one time. Therefore, our devotional service should be practiced in such a way that we minimize anxiety. Not that we add anxiety into our life. You have not come to Krishna consciousness to become full of anxiety. Yes, one should take anxiety on behalf of the other conditioned souls who are suffering. But that anxiety is very healthy. It is not the anxiety of one's own self threatened by other devotees. That anxiety is caused because there is some kind of compassionate nature. But this anxiety is caused because of this devotee, that devotee. He might take away my service. He might do this to me. He might do that to me. That anxiety is not at all healthy in practicing our devotional service. It does not give any attention. It does not give us the taste for hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord and hear about Krishna. We have 2 years and that is also causing so much of disturbance. Therefore, our Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he removed those 2 eyes also. He said, causing so much of difficulty. There is a Siddhi in the 11th canto, it is explained, Dura Shravanam. You can imagine if Krishna provided that facility for not so advanced devotee, that Dura Shravanam will simply increase more prajalpa. More prajalpa. We can extend our ears and hear so many nonsense. Sometimes we wonder, how is that I know so much bad about other devotees? something happening in America, I have no relationship, it has nothing to do with my life, but still that get affected. Like Rupa Goswami says, I want millions of ears, millions of tongues to chant. Our Bhakti Vaibha Maharaj was saying in Mayapur during the Gaur Purnima lecture, he said, Rupa Goswami is desiring because he feels one tongue is not sufficient. How much can he chant? If there are millions of tongues, he can chant millions of the holy name. But we desire millions of tongues so that we can finish our 16 rounds in 3 minutes. That's what we desire. Why? Because then with millions of tongues, we can chant, we can talk all nonsense. Therefore, Bhagavatam calls his tongue as asati, jivvasati, unchaste, no loyalty. She is not loyal, this tongue is not loyal just to serve one master, Krishna. Rather, this tongue is so unchaste, you know, accepted Krishna as the husband, but has the association of so many other paramours. Therefore, tongue is called as unchaste. So if we can focus on this principle of chanting and hearing, anxiety-ridden life, hear Krishna Katha, hear the holy name, chant the holy name of the Lord, then whether our service is there and whether our service is not there, but our prominent service will always remain. And what is that? Chanting and hearing. More time to hear, more devotees speak the holy names of the Lord. Of course, there is unlimited service to do, but this might happen also. Sometimes devotees complain, when there was a need, I was used, but when somebody else came, I don't get my service. It's another destructive mentality. Why? Because Krishna gave you service, you perform. When the Krishna has not given you service, you perform higher service of chanting and hearing. And it is natural that as the number of devotees will increase, on a practical level also, you know, devotees will come and perform more services. And we may have to step aside and keep watching them perform that service better than us. In Kali Yuga, material efficiency increases as the age goes, you know, greater into the effect of the Kali Yuga. Technologically, the children are more efficient. Like even Mridang, I was watching our Gopal Garden children. They play Mridang. You know, the 6th standard boy, what he plays, none of our devotees in the temple can play like that. His fingers move like a machine. And there are some devotee girls, they move harmonium. How they play harmonium so nicely? They sing so beautifully. So all material abilities, because they are devotee children, you know, some of them, they are so expert. They have a difficulty in chanting Hare Krishna, no doubt. But playing instruments, singing, playing harmonium, any instrument, they are extremely expert. Technology, computer, designing something, writing articles, you know, in a very efficient English, they are too far ahead of us. Even the ability to speak, presentation skills. I can say some of our devotee children, devotee boys, their ability to communicate in English is so great that we don't have any grihasthas or brahmacharis the way they can communicate. They're very fascinating when they present. Amazingly fascinating. So materially, it is natural that they will become more expert, because material world is only thinking about how to make people expert on the material front, giving up all the spiritual consideration. So therefore, that is our main consideration. Krishna conscious philosophy is not to become expert materially, but to become expert spiritually. And what is that expertise comes from? That expertise comes from, you know, the principle of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. If that is not there, all our expertise without that is a waste of time. Therefore, here Prahlad Maharaj, here and again, more verses, what he speaks to Lord Narsingdev, he speaks the same thing, that let me hear in the association of devotees, let me serve under the association of devotees. And then Krishna, Lord Narsingdev, concludes what Lord Narsingdev gives instruction to Prahlad Maharaj, is the same principle. that destroy your karma, your good karma, by enjoying it, and destroy your bad karma not by complaining. Do not destroy your bad karma by complaining, rather destroy your bad karma by doing good to those who do bad karma to you. And in this way, my dear Prahlad, your glories will be sung in the entire world, especially in the planet of the demigods. And eventually you will come back to me, to the spiritual world. That is the instruction given by Lord Narsingdev to Prahlad Maharaj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.